the tragedy in Buffalo earlier this week, the terroristic incident at the Allina Health Clinic in Buffalo has a lot of people wondering about, talking about red flag laws. 17 states and the District of Columbia already have some version of a red flag law which allows courts to issue orders to temporarily confiscate firearms from individuals deemed to be a risk to others or themselves. In the case of Buffalo, in the shooting there, this man was known to local law enforcement, had a history of issuing terroristic threats. There were restraining orders. He threatened violence. And so it got us wondering about these red flag laws. Minnesota does not have a red flag law, but Indiana, Illinois, Colorado do, and 17 states in total. So we reached out to Associate Professor of Law Rachel Moran from the University of St. Thomas for a little bit of perspective on what is involved in getting this enacted at a state level. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
What was your reaction? And again, certainly we've had our fair share of terroristic events across the country, across this state, but it seems like Tuesday morning was an eye-opening experience here for folks locally. And I'm just curious what your reaction was, and should we be having the discussion here in Minnesota about enacting some sort of smart gun legislation? If somebody makes a terroristic threat, should there be consequences, or does the Second Amendment supersede everything?
Well, it was obviously a tragedy, and it's, I think, important to start there, recognizing the tragedy of one person losing their life and obviously many others impacted. It's also always important to think about the law before tragedies happen and not just in reaction. Sometimes bad laws can be passed because of a reaction to a particular incident. But Minnesotans have been thinking about red flag laws. In fact, there was a proposed red flag law that made it through the House of Representatives in the state last year and was held up in the Senate. But it is certainly something that has been on the mind of Minnesota lawmakers, and something perhaps the Senate Republicans would be willing to reconsider in light of this incident. I don't know.
Professor Moran, it's Jordana. Yeah. I feel like we all know that person in our life. We all know the one who is a little bit off, you know, the one who, you know, is isolating or has, you know, a horde of weapons, but I feel like there's nothing we can do about it. And this guy was known to law enforcement. And I, as a citizen of the world of Minnesota, what can I do when I see, you know, because everyone says if you see something, say something. Well, we all kind of know that person. So where do basically their rights end? Where do my rights begin? I mean, what can I do as a private citizen when I see a guy like this or a woman like this that's, you know, close to the edge?
You can always report to police, and that's a double-edged sword. It can be important and worthwhile in certain circumstances, and then we've also seen that calls to police can be the result of prejudice or a source of prejudice. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying we should instantly do that, but that is an option that civilians have when they're worried about speech or behavior. If Minnesota did have a red flag law, what that would allow is for either family members or law enforcement, depending on exactly what kind of law was passed, to ask a judge to issue an emergency order removing firearms or other weapons from the person who is suspected of irrational or very concerning behavior.
It's not. But we don't have that in Minnesota.
Exactly. We don't have that. So right now, you can still report concerns to the police, but the police really shouldn't be doing anything unless the report involves an actual crime. Terroristic threats is a crime in Minnesota. It is possible for someone to get arrested based on their speech if their speech is concerning enough that it rises to the level of threatening imminent harm is the legal standard. But if it's a realistic threat of immediate harm to someone, that can be a basis for police to arrest.
Professor, I have firearms for hunting and for self-defense, so I acknowledge my Second Amendment rights. And yet I also believe that most gun owners are responsible, but they should not be in the hands of people who are mentally unstable. That's just my opinion, especially people who talk about what they're going to do. My question is, a lot of people out there who have weapons are afraid this is a slippery slope, that they're coming for my guns. Is there any evidence that red flag laws in these 17 states have increased the potential for that slippery slope where they're coming for people's firearms?
Not that I know of. I'm not aware of any empirical studies suggesting that people's Second Amendment rights are more likely to be restricted in states or improperly restricted, I guess I should say, in states with red flag laws. It's possible something like that exists, but it's not something that I'm familiar with. And I would imagine okay. that if those studies did exist, more gun proponents would be citing to them.
Right.
I know we only have about a minute left, Professor Moran, but this guy, this Gregory Ulrich, was known to police. He had made threats against the clinic or the doctor. He was a known bad actor to police. Why was that not enough to intervene and to stop that, to stop him?
Well, the situation in Minnesota right now is that we do prohibit gun possession in certain circumstances, but just being a, as you put it, known bad actor isn't one of them. If you're convicted of, for example, a domestic violence charge, the state mm-hmm. prohibits gun possession. If you're actually committed in a civil institution for mental health issues or chemical mm-hmm. dependency, that's a basis to prohibit firearms. But just having charges alone without convictions, that's not a basis in Minnesota right now to prohibit firearms. So that's where the gap is, that some people would say a red flag law is needed.
Do you think red flag laws will protect us, or do they protect in other states?
I think that they probably do protect in certain situations. I mean, they're limited, and so we still are a country that has an enormous number of weapons, and that's so a red flag law is not the be-all end-all. It's not a perfect solution, but I do think that there are examples of it creating important protections for people.
Okay.
Associate Professor of Law Rachel Moran from the University of St. Thomas. Thank you so much for having this chat with us. We learned a lot.
Of course. Thank you.